Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 13th, 2018. What's going on? How are ya? How's it going? I know I'm late. I know I'm fucking late, like your girlfriend after prom night. Oh, Jesus. Sorry for the bad joke. There's going to be a lot of bad jokes on this. This is old Billy Jet Lag, all right? You know, remember Buddy Love and fucking the Nutty Professor? You know, he was a cooler version of him. I'm not cool on any level, so it just becomes worse versions of me. And today you're going to be listening to old Billy Jetlag. It's 5:41 in the morning, and I've been up for the last 2 hours. I'm back in L.A. I'm going back to Billy. I'm old American Billy again. And I'm so glad to be back in a country that likes Donald Trump. You know, it's about time. And I know there's a few Hollywood people out here that are trying to make it seem like there's a bunch of people out there that don't care for Donald Trump. And it's just simply not the case. The guy has the highest approval rating of any president ever. He has a higher approval rating than dictators where people are afraid to say they don't like him. This is all true stuff. You know what's funny is he will quote this podcast as a fact to say that shit about himself. All right. I thought I could do my podcast with my mouth guard in. I can't do it. Hang on a second. All right. I'm back. I know what you guys are thinking, like, Jesus Christ, Bill, you're 50 years old, you still have a mouth guard, you're still wearing a fucking retainer? Huh? What, are you going to your sophomore semi-formal next week? No, I got that Invisalign, and I'm actually I listen to what the dentist says, which is, you know, all these people get Invisalign, they go through all the fucking, the pain in the ass shit of having this stuff. And then when the second they're done, they give them the mouth guard and they don't wear it. And then their teeth gradually just become crooked again. Not me. But it's not me. I'm smarter than that. I pay for the shit. You know, that's like getting your car fixed. Then you go out and you fucking sideswipe a tree. Why would you do that? You know, you may not have a lot of things in life, but if you could have nice straight teeth, that gets you through a lot of stuff. Cops literally show up. You know, why did you beat that woman? I didn't beat her. Oh, look at his big shiny teeth. Hey, sweetheart, what were you wearing that made him do that? That's what happens. That's how you get out of it. Anyways, I'm very, very happy to come back. Oh my God, my daughter gave me like 4 of the greatest hugs I've ever gotten in my life when I got home. It was awesome. And it's so weird, you know, when they're that little, they hug you, but then immediately you want to go run and go do something else. You know, and you're like, ah, she doesn't even care. And then she kept coming back, hugging me before she'd go run back over to a toy. So it was pretty awesome. We finished the tour strong. I don't even know what the hell last day I talked to you, where the hell I was. I don't know. I want to say I was on my way to Poland. Was it Warsaw, Berlin? Yeah, Prague, and then Vienna. And all of them were just, they were amazing. Warsaw, we went there, and I actually talked to Verzi. Verzi has a Patreon page, as do I, and I did a little quick half-hour podcast with him. One of the only cunts that we met on this trip was in Warsaw at our hotel. It was a place that kind of looked like a restaurant, kind of looked like a cafe, and we went in there, and we were immediately told by the waiter that it was a chocolate factory. He kept saying that. Like, we were looking, we wanted to get something to eat. And they had all this chocolate shit there, but they also had sandwiches and stuff like that. So Verzi says to him, he goes like, hey, so what would you say is your, what would you recommend? What's the best thing on? And he goes, what did he say? He said, chocolate to make it easy. If I could sum it up, chocolate. And like, all right, we want some sandwiches. Is this a good sandwich? He's like, yeah, it's good. It's good. Just being like that, right? Then he just kept having a fucking comment on everything that we were going to do after we ate. He goes, you want something else? You want something else? And I go, yeah, all right, you know, maybe I'll get a hot chocolate or something. Then he'd be like, you sure you have room? It's like, well, if you don't think I think I'm too full after what the fuck I ate, why would you ask me, you fucking skinny cunt? He was such a fucking cunt. He was such a cunt. So then I go up there. I said, you know, I'll get some hot chocolate. And he goes, well, which one? We have all kinds. We're a chocolate factory. It's like, dude, you're not a factory. You're not making the chocolate here, you stupid skinny cunt. You know why I'm this upset about it? It was because I kept thinking like, oh, I'm being the ugly American. Maybe I should be even nicer to this guy. And the nicer I was, the more of a cunt he was. And then in the end, you know, when he was such a cunt, Verzi got mad. Verzi never gets mad. I'll get mad at fucking, I don't know, that fucking goddamn peacock for some reason popped in my head first. I was trying to think pigeon. Oh my God, that guy is a temper. He got mad at a peacock. Even Verzi was upset by the end. And then when I saw him getting upset, I realized how ridiculous it was that I was getting upset. I just said, Paul, he works in a chocolate factory. We're going to go tell jokes in a fucking basketball arena in Warsaw. And so then we both laughed and we were like, all right, buddy, take it easy, you know. And I got to tell you, though, the hot chocolate was the shit. They came over with a little trio of them. One of the hot chocolates was white. It's like white chocolate, you know, which was should have been my nickname when I played basketball, but I wasn't good. So that kid from Sacramento got it. Then there was another one was just chocolate, and then it was coffee chocolate. And I fucking hate coffee, so I gave that to Paul. The white chocolate was fucking bananas. So the guy comes over, and I'm still trying to be friendly. And I go, oh, the hot chocolate was delicious. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, this one here. And I pointed to the white one. It was fucking amazing, right? I didn't say amazing. Fucking amazing. I said it was amazing. And he goes, oh, you must have a sweet tooth. I was like, okay, all right. You know, he was like so skinny, you could have beaten him with his own body. You know what I mean? he was like a nightstick with a fucking head. It is a chocolate factory. Oh, then Verzi went up to after his, because he had, you know, a burger or whatever the fuck he had. Said, can I get a piece of chocolate? And the guy's like, yes. You just want one? You're going to eat it so fast. And Verzi's like, I just want one. You know, they all over there, they have from World War II, they have like the, you know, the butcher of Baghdad or some shit like that, which is the Middle East. You know, we were joking. He was the cunt of Warsaw. But as cunty as he was, and as frustrated as I was that I couldn't find a little Polish flag, you know, that's what I do when I go on the road. I find those, you know, those things that back in the day people would sew into like a jacket. I'm not doing that. I'm going to frame them. I got to have some sort of frame where I can open and close it where, you know, because it's a work in progress where I'm going to go. And I just want to keep adding to it. And I couldn't get the Polish flag because I took a picture of the collage of them and put it on Instagram. A lot of people gave me shit because I didn't have the Polish flag or the German flag. I already have a German flag. I'd already been to Cologne before. That's why I didn't have that. And I didn't have the Polish flag because I simply could not find a place, a souvenir place in the time allotted. I went down into the subway, the underground, and they literally had a Polish flag and they had magnets and shit, but they didn't have the other one. So I'm just going to order one off the internet today. So anyways, then we went out and did the show and it was in like this fucking basketball arena and it was fucking unbelievable. The tour was great, but somewhere in Latvia and then Budapest, it just went to another level. And then the rest of the tour, I was in Budapest on stage going like, I think I would shoot a special here. And when I went to Warsaw, we were in this little basketball arena type thing. And they had a stool and the seat was all fucked up. And I just started making fun of it going, come on, Warsaw, come on, you can do better than that. And they had a great sense of humor about themselves. I just, you know, I don't know. It was just one of those things. I riffed on the stool and just went from there. Then I went to Berlin. Did a little shopping for the ladies in my life, you know, try to find them some sneakers and shit. And it was incredible. You went there and they had like this whole, it was sort of like the sack, like the Fifth Avenue of Berlin. And in the middle of all that, I should post a picture. They had this beautiful church that was built before the time of World War II. And it was all bombed out. Like one of the spires was busted off the top of it. And there was like bullet holes and everything in it. And they kept it, turned it into a store or something like that. But it was a reminder of World War II. And right next to it was this ultra modern building that they were making. It was really, really interesting. And I would like to go back there again soon. And the next time I do Germany and I go into Warsaw, as I mentioned before, that I never wanted to go to Auschwitz or anything like that. But now I kind of went down this rabbit hole and I was looking up all of that stuff. And as much as you don't want to go there to see that level of fucking evil, it's kind of a good thing to be reminded that, you know, an entire nation of people can be talked into some shit like that. Another thing that blew my mind was when we were in Nuremberg. And I know someone to make Germany, yeah, this is all that it is, because the food was fucking great. The people were great. But there is that fascination. So they have a field there, Zeppelin Field, I believe it's called. And it's not Led Zeppelin, like literally the guy who invented the Zeppelin, I think, landed there. And that's where they had those giant Nazi fucking rallies way back in the day. And that place still exists. They've taken down all the pillars, but you can just walk in there and literally stand where Hitler and all those fucking lunatics stood. And I don't know. I don't know what the fuck it is over there. I remember it was like the beaches of Normandy. You just go there. It's just a beach. But it's a really like fucking emotional thing when you go there. Like, Jesus Christ. And then you see like what was stopped. How great that is. But now you see where the fuck that we've ended up. And it's just really, you know, human beings, we're kind of like the Jaguar or the Jaguar, however you say it, a mid-80s Jaguar. You know, it's a great fucking car, you know, it's beautiful and all of that, but it fucking breaks down all the time. It always needs to be fixed. And when I was teasing them over in Germany about that shit, I was quick to tell them that my country has done everything that you guys have done. We just fucking, it just wasn't filmed. You know what I'm saying? Which is weird, because when I go over to Germany and shit, I was talking about this, how I sit there and think like, oh my God, this is like, you know, Hitler gave a speech here and there was a concentration camp over there. But when, you know, I'm down south, I don't think when I'm at a Waffle House that maybe this used to be a plantation and someone got fucking beaten to death there, or they were running away from their slave man. I never think of that shit. Or this is where Native Americans were, and they were just sort of hanging out. We fucking came in and murdered all of them. Oh, isn't this a fun podcast? So anyways, after Berlin, we then went down to the Czech Republic, and I performed in this theater that was basically where they would have all the communist rallies. You know, and communism is yet another thing that gets a bad rap. Communism gets it doesn't work. It doesn't fucking work. It's like none of them work. None of them work because they work in theory. In theory, hey man, everybody has the same stuff, man, and everybody lives community. That works if everybody buys in, but they don't, because there's always cunts at the top that want fucking more. And then there's also people who think, well, you know, if there's no reward for fucking working harder than somebody else, I'm just going to coast. Cunts, right? And then you have capitalism. Hey, whoever's the fucking best fucking bad, they're going to fucking, and that's not how it works. It's not how it works. Whoever's the best whatever will now be absorbed by a corporation or crushed is how it works. And I don't know. If you think it's fucking working, you're not paying attention to our bottom line right now. This country is bankrupt and has been bankrupt since fucking 2008, as far as I can tell. And everybody's just ignoring it. I mean, Jesus Christ, Clemson won the national championship. They go to the White House and they got fucking Domino's and Wendy's. And everybody's blaming Donald Trump. Like, what kind of a fucking asshole does that? And they're blaming the shutdown. It's like, guys, we are bankrupt. Okay? This is what poor people eat. They eat fast food. All right? I'm sorry that's a wake-up call to where the fuck we're at right now. But we are fucking bankrupt. And I don't agree with a lot of shit that Trump's doing. But if that guy can somehow get us out of these fucking wars so we can begin to try and figure out how to pay him back, I mean, I don't know. I don't get like whatever. I mean, I know what the fuck we're doing over there. Everybody knows what the fuck we're doing over there. Then everybody knows what we're saying that we're doing over there. And it's two completely fucking different things. Anyways, I don't want to get on a whole fucking thing here because I don't pay attention to enough of it, but it seems to me that we spent $1 trillion to stop 3,500 fucking jerk-offs is what we're doing now on a jungle gym that don't have a plane or a fucking boat. And we've gone bankrupt doing that, and like half a dozen corporations made $1 zillion off of it and continued to try and keep us over there because they also own media. So no one hopefully people will begin to talk about this shit. Because I know this doesn't sound patriotic because now patriotism is just support the troops. I support the troops, you know? And if you don't support the troops, get the fuck out of the country. And it's like, okay, I support the troops, but can I logically talk financially what the fuck we've done so that our kids all the way down the line won't still be paying for this fucking thing? And you know what? I am open to discussion here. Let's fucking open this up. We got the call. We got the fucking lines open. Can somebody please explain to me financially how we're going to get out from underneath this? I did feel good when I was in Germany that they were going to switch to renewable energy, which I think is the solution to Middle Eastern terrorism, because it seems all the oil money that they make off of oil is funneled through the mosque and then financed to these groups that we don't like, that want to kill us. So if we stop buying their oil, they don't have any money, and then they don't even have a jungle gym. I'm sure that's too simple, but I do this a lot. I say ignorant shit, and then people straighten me out. So all I ask is that if you think I'm way off base and right now you're screaming at your fucking windshield, calm the fuck down and just explain to me how off base I am, and I will listen. I can be swayed. I don't have confidence in my opinion. I deliver it with confidence, but in the back of my head, there's always that voice being like, "Bill, you don't read books." All right. So we went to Prague, and we performed at this place where I imagine Brezhnev or Gorbachev had spoke at, and I got such a kick out of being in there as far as like all the shit talking that must have been done about the United States of America. And I was sort of riffing, imitating them. "Comrade, they're all fat over there. They're fat and they fuck their six sisters." All that shit. And then I was there telling my dick jokes. But that crowd was fucking unbelievable. And they just rolled with everything. And I got to be honest with you. I haven't had that much fun on fucking stage in forever because of what's going on with stand-up comedy. I actually was able to get away. I kept tagging all of my jokes going, "And if I said that in America, my career would be over." And they all laughed. They all laughed, you know? So once again, as I stated on my last podcast, comedians, okay, we need to stick up for each other. We don't need to be taking each other down about material. There's literally comedians going online, tweeting about people's material and saying maybe they shouldn't. Comedians are turning into Al Gore's wife. You know, when she used to attack heavy metal. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. But for the love of God, shut up. Use your head because you're chopping your own fucking head off. Eventually, that shit is, the water's going to rise up around your ankles and eventually you're going to drown in the bullshit that you're creating here. So anyways, we were over there, had a great show. We found a cigar bar, smoked a wonderful Partagas, however the fuck you say it, tomato, tomato. And then we went back to the hotel room. We were like, can you imagine if the fucking Kansas City Colts game was on and they had this Sports Channel 7 there over there and we got it and we fucking lost our minds. And at like, you know, midnight over there, we were watching the second, third, and fourth quarter. No, we watched the second half. So we kind of missed all the scoring. And I would say this, for the Patriots game and the Chiefs game, both of those defenses that you saw, the Patriots defense and the Chiefs defense, everybody's like, wow, what's going on? These guys really figured something out. What you were seeing there was two teams that were just totally out coaching the other team. They had a game plan that worked and the other team could not adjust to it. All right. The Chiefs defense is not as good as it looked. The Patriots defense is not as good as it looked against the Colts. That's what I took away from both of those fucking games. So I'm an old school guy. I know that the game is played a different way now. Where you go for 2-point conversions with an entire fucking quarter left. I know it's all about offense, but I still believe that defense wins Super Bowls despite last year's Super Bowl. You know, if you really look at it, all you know, they only needed to make one defensive play. One big defensive play was made, and that changed the game. So, I don't know. I am definitely skeptical as to whether the Patriots or the Chiefs can win the Super Bowl with their defenses. Having said that, I'm very excited for this matchup, the rematch, and the Patriots have to go into Arrowhead after already beating the Kansas City Chiefs by the skin of our teeth, letting up 41 points. What was it 44-40 or something like that? Even though we beat them last time, it was by no means impressive defensively, you know, which is why, you know, when we beat the Chargers, somebody wrote, had this hilarious tweet where they said, you know, it's poor Chargers. You know, it's so difficult to find a quarterback that can beat Tom Brady. And then they had a picture of Eli Manning when he first got drafted by the Chargers holding up the jerseys. And then, of course, all these other fans, rather than getting the joke, that the joke was making fun of the Chargers' decision to get rid of Eli Manning, forget about Drew Brees, someone wrote, and then showed a picture of Nick Foles. And it's like they weren't talking about the Eagles. And that is something that does bug me, though, as a Patriots fan, that people are trying to say Nick Foles beat Tom Brady. He didn't. He beat the fucking Patriots defense. All right? Because if you look them at the Patriots, you know, Brady versus Foles, Foles only threw for like 300-something yards. Brady threw for over 500 fucking yards and lost. Fucking ridiculous. So, having said that, maybe the Patriots and the Chiefs, maybe one of them could win the Super Bowl. But my pick has been the fucking New Orleans Saints, which I was really nervous about when they were down 14-0. And I love Nick Foles. I fucking love that guy. That guy, he plays, you know, he's one of those, he's like Eli. The bigger the game is, the better that guy plays. And the bullshit way that organization keeps putting him on the fucking bench because they got so much money invested, I guess, in Carson Wentz. Not saying that that guy's bad because he did great, but, you know, a lot of people would demand a trade or something like that. He just fucking sits there and it's like, all right, when do you need me? And when you do, I'm going to go in and crush it. So, I don't know. It was kind of funny, though, watching Eagle fans all patting themselves on the back about how great they are because they weren't sending death threats to that wide receiver who had the ball go through his hands, which is a great thing. And it was impressive that they didn't do that. But they got a little ahead of themselves about how great they are. They kind of forget that they have a jail in their stadium. They kind of forget that an entire row of Eagle fans thinks nothing of beating up a father who's there with his child because he has the different jersey on or spitting on him or puking on him or throwing shit. Just, you know, take it down a little bit. Eagle fans are such assholes. They actually think they're good people for the simple fact that they didn't send a death threat. You know what you guys sound like? You sound like feminists right now. The only thing you didn't do is call yourself brave. He dropped the ball and we didn't send death threats. We're so brave. We're warriors. Anyways, sorry to Eagle Nation. Tough fucking loss. I was loving what, even though you were going to fuck up my pick, I was loving what you guys were doing when it was 14-0. And, you know, you're the defending Super Bowl champions. And I felt you weren't getting your respect. The same way, I can't say the Patriots deserve respect this year. I mean, we've taken some brutal losses, but it was in the back of my head, I was kind of hoping that the Patriots and Eagles would both make it to the Super Bowl again, just to shut all these fucking people up. But we shall see. All right, having said that, we have to go into Arrowhead Stadium, the loudest fans in the league. They don't need a stadium that is architecturally designed to make them sound louder than they really are. They are fucking loud as shit. They are so fucking sick of the Patriots. They always beat us, you know, early in the season or give us a good game. And every year it's like, this is the year. It's going to be over. And I told you that guy I saw I was in that sports bar in New York City, and that guy was just screaming, it's over. This is what it is now. And he was losing his shit about wanting to beat the Patriots. He was a Chiefs fan, and he just kept yelling sporadically, and then it just became nonstop yelling until he was tapped on the shoulder, asked to go. He got up peacefully, put his coat on, and continued to scream at the TV right out into public. And I was just sitting there being like, wow, man, that's how much people hate the Patriots. And also, I've been there as, you know, when an old school Patriots fan, certainly a Red Sox fan and a Bruins fan when we couldn't beat the Canadians and all of that shit. So I kind of knew what that guy was going for. So it's going to be a weird game where I want to see the Patriots win, obviously. But if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, that'll be really, really fucking cool. I mean, they have not been there since fucking Super Bowl IV, everybody. 67, 68, 69, 1970. 64, toss, power, trap, right? Hank Stram, way the fuck back then when they played the Vikings. Super Bowl IV, what are we up to now? Super Bowl 50-something, I've even lost track, and I'm a fucking nerd about this shit. So, with that, oh, the Rams beat the Cowboys. I missed that game, and then I missed another game. I forgot what the other. No, I don't. I think I saw both AFC games. I saw parts of three of four of them. But now I am back. I'm back. But you know what's hilarious is I have a birthday party I have to go to for a very special person, my own daughter, coming up this week. So I'm going to be missing some of the playoffs because old daddy makes the. I make a birthday cake from scratch every year. That's what I'm going to do. I got to do that. You know. You got to do shit like that. Anyways, all right. So I took a bunch of saunas when I was over there in Europe. And I didn't even talk about the cities, by the way. I didn't even talk about Vienna. Then I go to Vienna, and Vienna had like this incredible fucking theater. And this club owner, two of the club owners, they were just the nicest people ever. And they were feeding us like an Italian grandmother. Like, I even know what that is, the way Verzi always described it. Just would not say no, just kept bringing out, you know, Vino Schnitzel and then all these desserts, you know. I love how desserts over there is like a tray of cheese or like something sugary. And it was unbelievable. I think I consumed like 3,000 calories, but it's European calories. So it's not like the poison over here. So I woke up the next day being like, how am I not fatter? Oh, that's right. I got out from under my own food supply. So I want to thank them to Prague. I got to tell you, Prague and Budapest. A lot of Americans sleep on those cities. Absolutely gorgeous. Like I would say even Prague is like the Paris of the Midwest of Europe. As far as my little, you know, I didn't get to see too much of it, but just, you know, driving from the airport and looking at it, it was like both of those cities were breathtaking. And all right, my stupid computer keeps shutting down here. Anyways, I watched the rest of Pappy on too, the original one, when I came back, when I flew back, man, that was fucking incredible. And then I watched this 2-hour documentary, which I forget what it was called, about the CrossFit Championships. And it mainly focused on the women and stuff like that. And you know what? Like I said earlier, where I could be wrong about our foreign policy, I think I was wrong about CrossFit. Watching what those people were able to do physically. But as an old man watching it, I'm just going like, I don't know how long these people's bodies are going to last doing that. All of those fucking squats and all of that shit with your all I was thinking knees and shoulders. You need those for the rest of your life. However, I think stem cell research is going to get to the point where everyone's, you know, all their religious shit is going to go by the wayside to just have the fucking knees and shoulders of an 18-year-old when you're 60. I'm telling you right now, there is going to be some fucking jacked older people in the future. I got a buddy of mine. He had a torn rotator cuff. And he got that shit injected in there, and he doesn't even have scar tissue. It's fucking crazy. Do I sound like a crazy person right now? I'm talking about foreign policy and fucking stem cell research. This is old jet lag Billy. He's all over the fucking map. All right, let me do a couple of reads, and then I'm going to tell you what it was like to take a sauna in Germany. All right. Okay, Butcher Box. Oh, Butcher Box delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range orange chicken, and the top shelf heritage bred pork. All right? This is purebred pigs that you can trace the bloodline back to Europe. All right? Fucking Rudolf Hess would have ate this fucking pork. The incredible quality of Butcher Box. You know, I didn't know that Rudolf Hess, he left before all the evil shit went down. He was there for the beginning of the evil, like the game plan of it. But before the final solution was even put into place, he fucking got on a plane and left and went to Scotland. And there's all this shit about whether Hitler knew he was going to do it or if he deserted. He went up there and tried to make peace with England. And Winston Churchill was like, no, we're not making peace. Go fuck yourself and arrest this cunt. And then he spent the rest of his life in jail and then killed himself, allegedly, at 93, where some people thought that he was strangled. You know, there's always people, you know, whatever. But anyways, one of the great quotes of all time, when Rudolf Hess got in a plane and flew up to Scotland in the middle of the war to try and make peace, Hitler's quote about Rudolf Hess was, that guy's insane. I mean, that's just one of the greatest fucking quotes ever. Adolf Hitler called somebody insane. That goes back to when I first started in this business. It was right around the time when my favorite drummers of all time, Steven Adler, got kicked out of Guns N' Roses. And their thing was, yeah, he's doing too many drugs. And every comic had the joke. How much drugs are you doing that the other members of Guns N' Roses go, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. He's partying too much. That was, you know, that was the Guns N' Roses version of when Hitler said Rudolf Hess was insane. All right, back to Butcher Box, everybody. The incredible quality of Butcher Box meat starts with the commitment to raising animals humanely and free of antibiotics and hormones before they kill them. Cook with the peace of mind of knowing you're eating healthy, high-quality meat. Each box comes with at least 8 to 11 pounds of meats, which is enough for 24 individual size meals if you have the discipline. You know, if you eat like that guy in 7 who ended up face down in his SpaghettiOs, I mean, you're gonna go through that shit in a week. You can choose from 5 different box types, all beef and chicken, beef and pork, mixed box, a custom box, which lets you choose your own cuts. My favorite box cut is, I'm supposed to say, I would say, oh, I'd have to go beef and pork, or maybe I'd go mixed box. But I like custom box too. You know, I like a custom car. I don't know because they just keep sending me the shit for free because they're liking the way I'm reading this stuff. Anyways, now we're announcing our new brand of protein. What, they find a new animal? Wild Alaskan salmon. Butcher Box sources their pure, sustainably harvested salmon from Bristol Bay, Alaska. Unlike any salmon you'll find in your local store, it literally is, its red color means that this salmon is as fresh and nutrient-rich as it gets. For $20 off your first box and 2 pounds of free salmon, go to butcherbox.com/burr and enter burr, B-U-R-R. That's butcherbox.com, enter burr. And enter burr, sorry. You know what's funny? I got so sick of watching comedians attacking other comedians on Twitter and people screaming about Trump that I found this place where you could like maybe follow some different things on Twitter. So I decided to go into the science world. Like, this will fascinate me. I have such a poor science background. Let me fucking read up on this shit, right? And all they did was talk about how we're destroying the environment. And it was even more depressing than listening to fucking morons yelling about politics. As I, on this politics, on this podcast, gave you my solution for solving the Middle East problems. I mean, how hypocritical am I? So anyways, I went on there and I found out some snail, just the last one, they called him George, out in Hawaii, has now died. And evidently those things are going to go extinct. Stamps.com, everybody. Stamps.com is the faster and more convenient way to get postage. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. And the mail carrier picks it up. No more lugging mail to the post office. No more hassles, man. With Stamps.com, you get discounted postage rates that you can't even get at the post office. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters, and there's no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com to send out all my posters, Christmas gifts. It's great. It's great. And right now, and I'm a moron, if I can figure it out, so can you. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. So start the new year off right. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com, enter Burr. All right, before I do the reads this week, I took a sauna when I was in Germany, and evidently, I heard that they were naked. They go into those saunas naked, and it's co-ed. So I asked Verzi if he wanted to go down to the sauna. He said yes, and then I texted him. He must have fell asleep, so I said, fuck it. I went down. I worked out, got a great workout in, and then I went to go into the sauna, and there was nobody in there. And the old me, I liked the steam. Now I really like the dry sauna because it can get way hotter. You know, Joe Rogan converted me, right? So I go in there, and I went in there like an American. I had my slippers on, I had my towel on, and all of that shit. And then all of a sudden, this dude comes walking in. He has a towel on. I'm like, oh, thank God, thank God. It's Berlin, okay? It's Berlin, okay? This is like their New York City, so everybody's going to act accordingly. And then he just immediately takes his towel off, and I'm like, what the fuck? So then he lays down. And what he did was he put his outside leg, the leg close to me, he put it up. So he was sort of covering his junk, slashed, looked like he was getting ready to recreate the Burt Reynolds Playgirl centerfold, right? So anyways, and I know this is going to be the fucking Photoshop. So I'm sitting there like, yeah, what the fuck? All right, whatever. One naked dude, who gives a shit, right? And then all of a sudden, another guy comes in. This guy comes in. He doesn't even have his towel on. He's just holding his towel in front of his junk. Then he goes in, like, it was shaped like a horseshoe. You know, like the old fucking Denver Broncos stadium back in the day. So I'm on one side of the horseshoe. I'm on like the visitor's side. The first naked dude is on the fucking home side. And then this naked guy comes in and he lays down the same way, same Playgirl fucking thing with the outside leg up. He's sitting in the end zone seats. All right. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. So now I'm laughing because all I'm thinking is I'm going to tell Verzi. Because at this point, it's just naked guys. And just naked guys, it's just funny. I used to do a bit in my act. A naked man is either funny or scary, right? If you're at a football game and a naked guy jumps out of the crowd and runs across the field, you're laughing your ass off. If you're walking home late at night and a naked guy jumps out of the fucking bushes, it's one of the scariest things ever. So this was just funny. I'm in a gym. There's all kinds of people around or whatever, even though it's just the three of us in there. But, you know, I can just get up, walk out the fucking door. There's no danger here. There's two naked guys. It's fucking hilarious. So I'm looking down at the floor, and all I'm thinking about is I can't wait to tell Virgil this fucking story. They're both laying here like fucking twin Burt Reynolds, and I'm sitting here with my slippers on and my towel. You know, I don't know. So anyways, and then all of a sudden the door opens again, and now a woman comes walking in. And I'm looking, I kind of look at the guys, like, are they going to cover themselves up? And they don't. And then she comes in and just takes her fucking towel off. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then she sits down in the end zone seats, right? So above her in the upper deck is this naked guy. To her left is the other naked guy. She's naked. And now she looks over at me and I got a towel on and slippers. So now I'm looking like the weirdo. Now I'm the fucking pervert. Like, look at this fucking guy. We're all getting naked. Why are you sitting over there, right? So now I'm like, well, I got to get the fuck out of here. And just as I said that, the dude in the home seat, he stands up and he's going to walk out. And I'm like, all right, perfect. Now he's going to use the shower. I'm just going to wait till he's done with the shower. Then I'm going to fucking walk out. So that's exactly what happens. I walk out. But when I walk out, what I forgot to mention was they had, like, you know, those ice baths that like NFL players go to get into. They had something like that, but it wasn't ice. It was just like it was a tank. You climbed up like 6 steps and then climbed down into this thing, and it was freezing fucking cold right after the sauna, right? And just closes up all your pores. It gets rid of all the fucking toxins and all of that. All the shit washes off of you. Granted, everybody else is using it, so it's probably fucking gross on some level. I have no idea. Maybe because it's so cold it kills the shit. I don't know what. So I wanted to use it, but there was no way I was going to use it because I had to get up to the top of it and take my towel off and be standing up there with my fucking manhood twisting in the breeze before I went down into the fucking Arctic water. But when I came out, there was nobody there. So I was like, I gotta try it. So I fucking scampered up the ladder, quickly took my towel off, and then went down into it. I was like, fuck, it was freezing cold. Went all the way up to like my neck and wanted to stay there for a minute, but probably only stayed there for like 15 seconds. It was enough for me. But plus also, I knew other people were going to come in. I didn't want to come crawling out of there completely naked like fucking Jason Alexander now with my fucking junk all pulled up into me, right? So the other dude's in the shower. I can hear him. So now I go to get out of this fucking thing. I get my towel on and everything, and I feel fucking amazing to go from that heat to that cold. Now I'm going to go into the shower. It was fucking amazing. So I get out of the shower. Now all I want to do is tell Verzi the fucking story and be like, dude, even a chick came in. This is fucking nuts. And I reach into my robe and I can't find my key to my locker. And I'm like, where the fuck is it? Did I drop it? Where the fuck? And I'm looking all around, and last time I remembered having it, I was holding it in my hand when I was in the sauna because I didn't want to leave it in the pocket of my robe. For some reason, I didn't see like the band that you could put it around your wrist. I just didn't, you know, I'm an idiot. And so I was just holding on to it, and I suddenly realized that it was still in the fucking sauna. So now I have to go back into the sauna. So I go back in there with my head down, with my fucking slippers on and my towel on, and I go back in there, and the naked woman is now laying down sideways, facing the door, okay? Laying down where I was sitting. And I'm like, I can't go over there with my towel on, being like, hey, I'm just looking for my keys, all right, there, sweetheart, right? I felt like a fucking weirdo. So now I sat down. She's sitting on the fucking visitor side. Now I'm on the home side or whatever. I might have fucked up these things. You know what I mean? I'm sitting on the opposite side that I was sitting on. And now I'm just sitting there going, all right, well, she's been in here for like 10 minutes. She's going to fucking leave soon. And when she does, I'm going to look for my keys. And she just won't leave. She won't leave. And then finally, I just have to get up because I'm dying because this is my second trip in. And I finally, when I say, hey, I'm sorry, I think I left my key over here. And she's like, oh, I didn't see it. And she's like sitting up like fucking naked, right? So now I go back over and I just fucking sit down. I fucked up the story. I'm sitting down there going, what the fuck do I do now? Because I'm dying of heat. And then all of a sudden, this couple comes walking in. And then they both get naked. So now there's two naked women, a naked dude, and then me all covered up. And at this point, now I feel like a fucking weirdo. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm in Germany. So now I take my towel off. And I'm just sitting there cracking up fucking laughing. Like, you know that when you just look down and you just, you know, what it's like, I'm going to laugh my ass off, but nobody's going to know. So you don't make a sound and you don't change your face. You just have your mouth open and you just kind of going like, I was literally doing that. While I was so fucking hot, I could feel my heartbeat in my ears. So at some point, it just got so hot, and she wasn't leaving, and she was like a pro. So I finally just got up, and I just sort of had my towel cover myself. I go, I'm sorry, I think I left my key over here. And she goes, oh, I did not see it, blah, blah, blah. And I go, all right. So then I went back, and I sat down. That's what I did. That's right. I sat down, and then she got up, and I was like, still. I go, it's got to be underneath her or something. So I waited for her to leave. I toughed it out. And then I walk over there and I'm feeling around on the fucking seats and shit, and it's just not there. And they have the slats, and I'm like, it probably fell down in between it. Now I'm going to have to walk out with just my towel and robe on, go back to the front desk, pay the fee and all of this shit. So now I walk out of the sauna. I'm fucking almost passing out. And to my left in my peripheral, I see that woman again, naked at the top of the fucking ladder to go into the ice bath. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, I got to get out of here, right? And as I'm walking away, you know, I hear her yelling over to somebody. And I'm like, I know she's not talking to me. And then she just goes, then she switches to English and she goes, did you find your key? And I kind of half turned, but didn't look at her. And I go, no, no, I didn't. And then she goes, is this it? And I realized that's where I left it. When I scampered up the ladder to go there, I left it at the top of the ice bath. I go, oh, yeah, it is. And then she stays at the top of the ladder and just, you know, kind of hands it. And I walk over and literally her vagina is above me. And I kind of reach up like looking but not looking. I just go, Dankeschön. And I was so fucked up, I didn't even take a shower. I just walked out and I went to the locker room and I went in there and I was like pouring sweat and everyone was looking at me like, well, why didn't he shower off? He's all red like the tomato. Anyways, and then I put my shit back on and that, there you go. That's my German sauna story. But I do have to tell you this though. If you're completely naked in a sauna, it's even better. It is even better. It's fucking weird, but you only can do it in a place. If everybody's naked, then it isn't weird. It isn't weird. And if you're worried that you're going to get a stiffy because there's a naked woman in there, there's also other naked men in there, so it neutralizes it. Not to mention, it's hot as shit. Like, I don't think anybody has ever fucked in one of those hot naked, the hot yoga class. What do they call that? The Bikram yoga? Like, you can barely survive. Like, fucking somebody is the last thing on your mind when you're sitting in like 180 degree heat. But anyways, there's my, that was my sauna story. It was hilarious. I was worried that my junk was going to look too small when I got out of the ice bath. And I was worried that I was going to fucking salute the Germans when I was in the sauna. If a naked woman walked in, but it didn't. I just felt like a fucking creep. So anyways, and that's why you travel the world, everybody, to get stories like that. All right. Anyways. All right. Follow up. Should girl have paid for dinner? Now, this became something on Reddit where I was reading this thing where this guy, the way I read it and the way I understood it. Now, granted, I was jet lagged flying around Europe. I thought he was saying that he took his girlfriend out for a birthday dinner with his parents, and when the bill came, she had to pay for her meal. So she was upset about that, and then now he invited her to another family gathering, and she made some flippant comment asking if she'd have to pay for the gas to get there. And I sided with her going, dude, you can't make somebody pay for their birthday meal. So anyways, somebody on Reddit said, Billy got a little confused with that email about the birthday dinner. The boyfriend's family weren't expecting the girlfriend to pay for her own birthday dinner. They were expecting her to pay for her own meal at his birthday dinner. Oh, okay. The email said this. I think he was just a little bit too jet lagged. All right. Well, my mistake. It's a little spoiled for her to get that dinner and instantly expect to go to that dinner and instantly expect her meal will be paid for. I wouldn't really say I come from a family of means, but we're not broke. And when I've gone out for dinner for my birthday, my folks have always been happy to pay. However, my partner never just assumed this. It's rude to. I agree with that. But having said that, I would also pay. I wouldn't make my girlfriend pay for the meal. Even if you're secretly hoping someone else pays for your meal, when it's not a special occasion celebrating something for you, just don't sit there and assume. The text message asking if she expected to pay for her own gas is astounding in its level of rudeness, too. I don't think that that's rude because I think that's her reacting to being upset that she was made to pay for her own meal. And then I actually see the boyfriend's point. If that's how it was worded, I mean, I understand why she assumed that they would have taken care of both of them because it was his birthday. It was a special occasion. And she's also a guest. She's company. You know what I mean? I understand that. That makes sense to me. So I still side with the woman on this one. I kind of get it. Like, if my parents didn't pick up for my wife's meal, I would have paid for it. I don't know. Anyways, it's not remotely spoiled for the girl to assume that the meal was paid for. I am on her side 100%. I cannot remember a single time growing up where I was invited out to dinner with a friend's family and I was expected to pay for my own meal. Yeah, it's one of those things. If you're going out as a couple, like two couples are going out, then you split it. Anyways, now that I am an adult with kids of my own, I would be incredibly embarrassed to ask my son's girlfriend to pay for her own meal at his birthday. I agree with that 100%. The text message was passive aggressive, but I think the meal thing and the boyfriend's reaction to it was so egregious that I don't have a problem with it. I don't either. I side with them too. Anyways, another one. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to say anyway. I like saying anyways. I use the Waze app. Why can't I say anyways? I cannot believe anyone doesn't have the same answer as you. Ha ha. Jesus Christ. Where did these animals grow up? I would die of embarrassment if I was at a restaurant with my family and my girlfriend and my dad asked her for money. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I just think that maybe we're braver. Maybe we're the warriors, social justice warriors. Hey, you know what's great about doing this podcast this early is my daughter's not going to be up for like another hour. So I get to hang all morning with her. I bought her all these cool sneakers when I was over there. She's like good until she's like 3 or 4 years old because I got the size wrong. The size I was told to get, I thought was she was that size now. And turns out that was, you know, the next size up. So I got two sizes and three sizes up. But they're all cool sneakers. Well, they are all cool sneakers that I got when I was over in Germany. Jet lag. Hey, Billy Numbnuts. Try valerian tea to help reset your sleep cycle while traveling. It also helps take the edge off at the end of the day when the whiskey blanky is not an option. B-L-A-N-K-Y is not an option. Works for me. I will definitely do that. Because I'm 52 days in and not drinking. And had I not done that thrash, I would actually look good. People were taking pictures of me. I was like, I look fucking horrible. Like just lack of sleep. That's all we did for 10 days straight. Fly in, go to the hotel, go do a show or two, go back to the hotel, sleep, try to go to sleep. And then you'd have to get up at 7 to take a train or something like that. And the younger me, I would have looked fresh as a daisy if I wasn't drinking. But I was looking at those pictures. I was like, I might as well have been doing fucking meth out here. I will try that. I actually got some melatonin when I was over there that everybody says is all natural. But I got to tell you, it makes you feel a little buzzed. I don't know. I don't know about that shit. But it definitely helped me go to sleep. Fat fella speaking here. Hello, Mr. Bender over Bill. I don't know what that means. I am 19 years old, 5'7 on a good day, and 320 pounds. All right, dude, you got to do something about that. Thank God you got a young heart, but you will not be 5'7, you know, in your 60s at 320 pounds. And I'm not a doctor, and I know this is a fact. Anyways, I just wanted to ask you, as a heavy fellow who tries very hard to be kind and courteous to those around him, how can I be better? I purposely avoid planes and public transportation because I understand how uncomfortable it must be for others to even be around me. It is very difficult because I have an irrational fear of driving and there are no taxi or Uber services in my area. I legitimately tried to keep to myself. For example, in a grocery store, if I have to pass someone who is shopping, I apologize simply because I block half the aisle. Most of the time, folks are very kind. In short, Mr. Burr, how can I be better to other folks who are less girthy? Thank you for your time. What I got out of that, sir, is I think that you need to come out of your shell and probably go get some therapy. And maybe part of your reason for eating and all of that type of stuff is there seems to be a little bit of self-loathing going on here, and God knows I was the king of that. It just didn't manifest itself into overeating. It manifested itself into other shit that I'm still trying to work out, But maybe if you start going to therapy, you start reading up on nutrition. And I got to tell you, dude, if you're 5'7", 320 pounds, like, I mean, I would think that you'd be able to drop a lot of weight if you just started eating right, because you obviously don't need all of that on you. And then I think as you learn about yourself in therapy and as you start to drop weight, you're going to come out of your shelf, because you're not going to have those feelings that you're being, you know, you're just like a sensitive person. The fact that you actually care is you're an empathetic person. And a lot of times people who are really empathetic can get in their heads and can get really like, I just think, you know, I feel like that made me sad reading that. So I don't want you walking around being sad. You're in the prime of your life. Like, and what's great is the fact that you're 5'7", 320 pounds. You have a great before picture. All right. So you got that checked off your bucket list. Now you can turn this whole fucking thing around. And you're so young that you got your whole life ahead of you. You can just turn that around. Find out. I would literally go to therapy and just put it all out on the fucking table. You know, what you feel your problem is, what you're afraid of, what makes you cry and all of that shit. And then I would just start literally marching towards getting in shape. It'll help your fucking confidence. And then what's great is when you become a good looking guy that's out there fucking slaying it and the ladies are loving you, you know, you've had the experience of being 5'7", 320, so you won't be a fucking asshole. I remember one time I was on a plane a long, long, long fucking time ago, like 15 years ago. And I was sitting next to this woman who was a fucking knockout, an absolute knockout. And I sat down next to her and she was just like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I was like, "Good." You know, women who look that good aren't like that, you know? And it's not just because, you know, they're stuck up. It's because when they're that good looking, if they even remotely make eye contact with another man, they're now going to have to deal with them hitting on them, you know? So she was totally open, was so fucking cool. And we were just shooting the shit. She was talking to me like she was like a widget salesman instead of like a fucking 10. And then in the end, I finally had to say, I've got to be honest with you. I've never been around a woman as good looking as you that was like this outgoing, had your personality. Your personality is amazing. And she laughed. She goes, "Ah," she goes, "I used to be fat." So I'm sure you already got the personality. So you know what you are? You're like a great barn find in like the automotive industry. I'm not calling you a fucking cow. I'm saying, like, you know, when they go into barns, they'll find this great old car that they then restore and everybody fucking loves it. So there you go. Restore yourself, sir. That's what I would do. And I believe in you. I think you can do it. Just put your mind to it. But I think you just got to figure out why you're, you know, why you are the way you are. Because I know just being courteous and empathetic isn't all who you are. You got shit to say. You got hopes. You got dreams. You want to find love. So let's go. Let's get after it. Get your ass out there. All right. Girlfriend won't lose weight. It's all about weight this week here. "Dear Billy, not so fat." Thank you. I'll take that. That's exactly what I am. I'm not so fat, but I definitely had a little too much Wiener Schnitzel, yeah? My girlfriend and I have been dating for 3 years, going on 4, and I'm starting to have different feelings towards her because of her eating habits and the way she takes care of herself. Since I met her several years ago, she kind of had a weight thing that was noticeable. You know what? I just fucking flaked reading this. I got to start over again. I was just thinking how amazing it is that Joe Rogan has Mike Tyson on his podcast. And I remember being on his podcast early on where it was just in his house, and how far he's come with that podcast is fucking amazing. Sorry, I don't know why I was thinking of that. Anyways, "Dear Billy, not so fat. My girlfriend and I have been dating for 3 years, going on 4, and I'm starting to have different feelings towards her because of her eating habits and the way she takes care of herself." Yeah, that isn't fair to do to somebody, you know? And I think it's understood when the guy puts on weight, and if a woman comes on TV and was to talk about that type of stuff, they would side with her for expressing herself. But if a guy does it, you're a fucking asshole. Anyway, since I met her several years, that's your job, man. You got to keep yourself looking good. You got to keep the spark going. And 50% of that is your responsibility. Since I met her several years ago, she had kind of had a weight thing that was noticeable, but didn't think anything of it because I thought she would get on some sort of kick of wanting to lose some weight in the years to come. I thought you were going to say I didn't mind because she was only a little overweight and I liked her as a person. You're like, well, you know, I'll get her on the treadmill. We got some potential here. What's funny is that's how women look at men differently. All right, he's got this job. You know, maybe he'll get to this job. We'll start making that kind of money. I'll get him some new clothes. I can work with this. I can fix him up. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong. You know, when I was younger, it used to bother me. But it doesn't bother me that a woman asks a guy what he does for a living. It's like, what is she supposed to do? Breed with a loser? Why don't you like me for who I am? You know, because I don't want to live in a shack. All right. Well, it's been 3.5 years and there's no stopping her from losing weight. She's 25 and I'm 30 and I don't know what to do. She loves the sweets and is not a fan of running because it hurts her feet. Oh, boy. Well, get her on an elliptical. Help, Bill. I love her, but I don't want to spend my early 30s miserable in a relationship with someone who doesn't want to take care of herself. Thanks and go fuck yourself. I have to tell you something right now, dude. You are in the most difficult fucking position you can possibly be in as a man. One of the hardest fucking conversations you can have with a girlfriend, other than I'm breaking up with you, is this is even harder. Because if you're breaking up with them, they're going to cry and then you're not going to see them again. Eventually, they're going to move on. You're going to try to stay in a relationship and you're going to try to tell a woman that she needs to lose weight. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to bring the lovely Nia on my next podcast, and we are going to revisit this question because I don't know how to do this. Because, you know, I've been lucky enough that I've always been with women that, like, they, you know, they want to go out and get after it or whatever, you know, hit the gym or whatever. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to do this because this is so fucking fragile. This is literally, if you start talking about a woman's weight, is in the same world as if she started talking about your dick size or your ability to satisfy her in the bed, because you're really talking now like a woman. Well, some of their biggest power, a ridiculous power a woman has, is her beauty. You know, I know they're all out there right now trying to act like they're going to start their own fucking airline and all of that shit. I'm not saying don't go do that, but, like, you know, that is, if you're basically saying that you're not attracted to them, it's, you know, if my wife came at me and said, hey man, you're getting a little bit fat, I would fucking laugh and it would so fucking motivate me. And to the point, I wish she would say it to me because I want to tape a special soon. But I got to go with self-motivation here of thinking of all the tweets I'm going to get if I'm a fat fuck on my special. But yeah, this is a really difficult thing. Don't have the conversation until Nia comes on. And even after what Nia says, I would also try to get advice from women in your life. And you have to start it with, I love my girlfriend. I love her to death. We just have a problem and I don't know how to bring it up. Okay? If you do that, the woman you're talking to will be more open-minded, I think, to listen to you. However, if you start with, my girlfriend's fat and I'm not attracted to her, what the fuck? You know, they might get defensive and start defending her and say that you're shallow. That's certainly going to happen on the internet. So whatever. Good luck with that, and I'll try to help you out on Thursday. Thinking about breaking up with my girlfriend. Okay, here we go. Dear Billy, not so fat. Look at this shit. I got a couple of those, right? Wait a second. Oh, this is the same fucking person. Dear, my girlfriend and I have been dating for three... Wait, did I just... Like, one is, dude, this guy's brilliant. Girlfriend won't lose weight and now thinking about breaking up with my girlfriend is from the exact same guy. Dear Billy, not so fat. My girlfriend and I have been dating for 3 years and going on 4, and I'm starting to have different feelings towards. It's the exact same fucking... Oh, this is fucking hilarious. Wait a second. Is it? It has to be. It's written a little bit different. I'll still read it. Since I met her several years ago, she's kind of had a weight thing that was noticeable, but I didn't think anything of it because I thought she would get on some sort of kick of wanting to lose some weight in the years to come. Well, it's been 3.5 years. There's no sign for losing weight. She's 25. I'm 30. It's the exact same fucking guy. All right. Okay, dude. Well, then that's fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. I would say this. You have to make the decision right now. Do you love your girlfriend in a way that you want to stay with her, eventually marry her, and help her through this problem? Or did you sort of thought you found, I'm going to marry you love, but just sort of found love. And now that she's overweight and you're not as attracted to her, is that feeling starting to come up? You know what I mean? Because that really is, that's when you find out if you really love somebody. Anybody can be around during the good times, right? You're a man, you're making a bunch of money, you can take her to fucking, you know, France or whatever, or, you know, she's a chick and she's fucking, you know, going to CrossFit and crushing it and fucking looking hot that you ignore, you know? But when shit hits the fan, okay, and you have to be there for somebody emotionally or you have to accept some of their flaws, that's when you find out if you love somebody. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you don't think about leaving. Everybody thinks about leaving all the fucking time. They're like, gee, I don't need this fucking shit. You know, I'll fucking, you can fucking have everything and I'll fucking, you know, I know I love my wife to death. Is even in my fantasies, when I'm mad as I can possibly be at her, even in my fantasies, I can't break up with her. I get to the point where she starts walking out of the house and then I get sad and I run out and hug her. So there you go. So there's a good question for you. In your fantasy, can you break up with somebody and you feel all right about it? No, that isn't a good litmus test, because then I'm doing the arrogant thing that you're wired exactly the way that I am. Anyway, I am back from Europe. I have to tell you, that was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had as somebody in this business, the business of show. You know, trying to figure out those crowds, trying to remember how the vibe I had the last time I was over there. And it took me a few shows of hit or misses to figure out, to fine tune the thing like a fucking race car. And I watched Verzi do it too. And I'm going to call this right now with Paul Verzi. That fucking guy, after that set I saw him do at Gotham, and then watching him going over to Europe, nervous, saying to me, going, Bill, I know I'm probably going to take a couple of fucking hits over here. And I'm going, no, you're not, dude. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Knowing that he was that kind of, watching him figure it out to the point that by the time we went to Vienna, the people booking it there were going, we need to have you back. We need to have you come back here. I'm just really proud of him, because I always knew that he was going to be able to do shit like that. And his special's crushing it. And he's got a big tour coming up. And I'm going to lose him as an opener. Which is what I want for anybody who ever opens for me. You know what I mean? I never want to have a lifer opener. You know, that's like having the kid that never moved out of your house. It's like, son, get out there, find love. All right, that is it. God bless all of you. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday. Hey, oh, by the way, I think I'm doing a podcast with that guy there I was telling you about. That he comes across like an old school sports announcer, like a Dick Schaap kind of guy. Way back, you know, he'd be like the best Patriots coverage in the business. He actually DM'd me, so I started following him. There, William Benditson, Benditson. Where the fuck are we gonna be? oh, I told him sometime around January 15th I was going to do it. What's today? Today's the 14th. All right, I got to reach out to this guy. We're going to do a podcast talking Patriots, and I'll send out a link and all that type of stuff. Hopefully, because this guy seems like he really knows the Patriots. I don't. On the other hand, I watch as much as I can watch with the travel and the kid. All right. Anyways, go fuck yourselves. I'll check in on you on Thursday. See you.